The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
As a church this morning, we come under the cloud of healing that you have raised over us. The cloud of healing that you have put upon your servant and your handmaiden, Reverend Busi Olabode and Reverend Bigbe Olabode, and the commission that you have given to them for to heal the souls of men. Therefore, this morning, we connect ourselves once again, and we ask that this healing flows to everyone in the name of Jesus. You are the one that is the healer. You will heal us and heal us until we come to health and we have enough immunity to be strong at all times. This is our portion this morning, and we receive it in full in the name of Jesus. Let your mercy come upon us this morning, and let every soul that is sick be healed in the name of Jesus. Let every sickness in our bodies that is connected to the sickness in our soul be healed by the same strength in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified this morning. Your name be exalted once again. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Please help me celebrate the worship team this morning for that help. Thank you, Sasama. More grace in the name of Jesus. Let's have our seats comfortably this morning. And let me welcome your neighbor to church once again. Tell him, neighbor, you're welcome to church. Please tell him or her very well. Tell him you are blessed this morning, sir. You are blessed this morning, ma. Let him know he's beautiful. He's handsome and he's beautiful. Hallelujah. You are very handsome, sir. You are very beautiful, sir, ma. Tell him, please. Everybody in church is beautiful. Tell him, you are beautiful, ma. You are handsome, sir. Somebody's not doing that. I don't know. Are you shy to say that? Are we shy to say it to your neighbor? Your brethren, you are handsome. You are beautiful, my sister. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. We should have enough boldness in our hearts. Boldness that is of faith. Boldness that is of righteousness. So tell your brother, you are handsome. And you really meant what you have said. Hallelujah. How can the grace of Jesus be upon somebody and it's not handsome? Imagine it. We are looking at handsomeness from the using the standard of the word. Jesus is a Lord over somebody. The most beautiful man that ever lived upon the earth is somebody's Lord. And that person is not handsome. That's against the thought of the scriptures. Hallelujah. The same thing to our sisters. They are very beautiful because they are daughters of Zion. And that's why we are held in church this morning to worship God together beautifully. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Yeah. Once again, I welcome all of us to church Sunday, 23rd of August. Am I right? Yeah. 2026. Hallelujah. Woo! The year is fast running. We are in the 8th month already. Wow. Before you know it, the year will be coming to an end. But there's one assurance in my heart that by the time the year is ending, one testimony that will be common in your life and in my life is that we would have been healed graciously in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, grace of God would have healed us, and we know that truly I am a healed person under Jesus in the name of Jesus. Amen. It will be so evident that we have been healed. That's one testimony that we will share among ourselves by the time the year is running to an end. Hallelujah. So this is the 8 months. We have just September, October, November, and December. Just like 4 months after now, we are ending the year. So the year has been well spent in the last 8 months. And we hope that the remaining 4 months and maybe 1 week, it will be graciously used under mercy in the name of Jesus. Amen. It means that we make the most of all the days remaining in the year in the name of Jesus. And that's why we are coming to church, so that we can receive a knowledge that would apply in our day-to-day activities, that will make us to journey into the healing grace of God until every sickness in our souls has been removed. And then we come to the health that is in the Lord. Is that your expectation this year? Is that what you and I are expecting this year?
Yes,
and that will be our portion in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank God for the emphasis of the season. And we thank God for how He's going to lead us throughout the year by His word and through all the platforms that we're going to still have to, you know, be blessed by God, specially before the year comes to an end. So this season, the Lord wants to rid of our soul the substances of the spirit of darkness, the substance of Egypt, the things that constitutes the treasure of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what we call healing, because those things are the reason for our sickness. So it means from that scripture, God wants to actually heal them. Because they were sick with the things of Egypt. It's not just about the bodily sickness. Even their soul has trapped Egypt. So Egypt is in them. They are actually a treasure to Egypt, because the things of Egypt is in them. So that's why the commandments that you see before now in that scripture are the process of their healing. When you say, "I'm the Lord that healed thee," it's not just one instantaneous healing. He already told them what will heal them. So, and said, "If thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God." Can you see? So they have to hearken to the voice of the Lord their God. That's the first step to their healing.
Yes.
Then they will do that which is right or righteous in his sight. And we give ear to his commandments. And keep all his statutes. Those are the prescription of God for that healing. That's when these are the things that we put away. When I say, "I will put none of those things upon thee," meaning that those commandments were prescribed to them to put away those things from them. Because already they were sick from their transaction with Egypt. They had Egypt in their soul. No wonder they were converting the food of Egypt. Even why God has taken them through the Red Sea. So the things of Egypt is still in them. They still treasure Egypt. They even said that, "Why should we die in the wilderness when there are good graveyards in Egypt?" They were telling Moses, "Why should we die here? Let us even go back to Egypt and die. And they will give us a befitting burial." You know what they were trying to say? You know, Egypt is a nation that values dead. Hallelujah. That's why you find the first technology of embalmment. Hallelujah. In history, the first country that understood how to embalm, you know, dead. Go to their pyramids to today. You see a pharaoh that has been buried for more than 1,000 years. Their body is still preserved in those pyramids. In Egypt, they call them mummification, right?
Yes,
they embalm dead. So Egypt has wisdom around burial. They can keep it. So they actually is a land of the dead. Hallelujah. Is what the land of the dead. So the wisdom to keep dead bodies is in them. Because the life they are living actually is death. And that's where the people of God were trapped for more than 40 years. So God brought them out. So they had 3 years. Can you see? Exodus 14, 11. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no grave in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the what? Wilderness. Wherefore, as thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt. They prefer to go back to Egypt. So when they die there, they can, you know, they can preserve their body, so to say. Or they like the way Egypt, you know, adore dead bodies. So for them, that was a trail to them that they didn't want to follow Moses after God's commandments. So that means Egypt's trail is in them. So if God will make us a peculiar trail as we are expecting God to do in our life, in our midst, in the coming months, in Zoe Conference, it means that we are going to follow his commandments that he has given to us as the days, you know, unfolds, especially in this season of healing. Because the trial that will become is because we have been healed. We can't be a trial in God's hand until we have been healed. So I just see the alignment of the spirits in the meeting that we are going to have next, which is Zoe Conference, called Peculiar Trial. So it's so accurate that God needed to make us prepare for that meeting. And that's why he has brought to us the instructions for our healing. Because only those who have been healed from diseases of the world, of Egypt, can become God's peculiar treasure. Because he said, I will make you a holy nation, meaning a separate nation. And what will make them separated from the earth are the obedience to his commandments. So all those things are the processes that will bring to them healing, and that's when it would be to them the Lord that healeth. So it's not one time healing like that. The healing is a process. So how they will not continue in the sickness of the Egyptian is that they will obey his commandment, as we see the Lord spoke to them in that scripture. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2 said, for thou art an holy nation, meaning separate nation, unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. So you know that for them to become a peculiar people, they must have become an holy people. And that holiness is what we call separation. And you know that they didn't become holy people until the Lord has given them the law. Exodus 20. Let's see how they become holy people. Because holy people are the one that will become peculiar treasure. Is that clear? So, and it shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. That's when God gave them the law. Exodus 19, 20 upward. And it shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This was what God told Moses to start with when he was on the mountain. That the reason why I called you up to myself, to give you a law for this nation, or the law that would define their nationhood, is because I have in mind to separate them and make them an holy nation. I'm calling them to priesthood. Hallelujah. So they will come to me a kingdom of priests. That means they will be separated unto God. No, priesthood is separation, right? And so that's what makes us treasurable before God. So this is in the Lord has desire to heal us, and I want us to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit as it brings us commandments that can make for our healing. That is when we can, you know, we can journey into becoming those people can call his peculiar treasures. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord will keep us until that very day. And our journey from now till then will bring to us more separations in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is said to do something great in our midst in this season. He has begun already. And I need us to know that this season must not, you know, pass us without an evident proof of healing. This season must not pass us by without an evident proof of healing. There is an extra grace that I believe God has released upon our community in this season to heal us specially. Actually, we are sick. We are all sick. And I feel that the Lord also, I perceive so strong in my heart that the Lord also has decided to use this season to address some issues in our life Hallelujah. That is connected to the sicknesses in our soul. There are things that are in our bodies now that is, it looks as if it's hereditary. Sometimes some sicknesses are in the body, they are like hereditary. Anything that you see that way is most likely connected to a sinful nature in that lineage. See a sickness in your grandfather or your daddy or your uncle, your siblings, it's like it's common in the family. And that kind of thing cannot be far from a sin. Every sickness in the body has its root in the sickness in the soul. I perceive that one of the things God will do is that it will touch those things as a mark, as a sign that the great physician is in our midst in this season. Hallelujah. So that commandment that God has given to you that looks ordinary to you may be a key not just to heal your soul, to take care of that sickness. You can't stand on your feet for too long. You're feeling some pain or leg. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can just walk more as God will instruct you this season in the spirit, that leg that is physically paining you can go off. I mean, that pain there can be taken off. It will look as if it's a joke. It could be an eye defect. Because everything we are doing actually in the spirit represents all those things. God is calling you, come and look at my word more. He's giving his word to come and understand him more. And that sight he's going to give you can also affect your physical sight. And what has been lingering in the bloodline for years can be addressed in your own case. Hallelujah. Amen. It could be an internal even ailment. Because actually, the same way we have been wounded in our soul, the same way some part of our internal organs have been wounded. We have wound in the body, right? We have wound in our stomach, wound in our inner beings. Something like an ulcer, right? Ulcer is like a wound in the stomach wall. I know somebody who's offended. It's actually somebody's wounded in his soul, right? Offense is what? It's an internal wound. God will just give you instruction to just forgive. Be free from that offense. I tell you, that may be the sort of healing to the wound in your internal organs. I'm telling you, some things that will be mysterious will happen and miss this season by just obeying God in this manner. I just said that this morning. If you are offended in a manner, please find grace. Let God give you instruction that will heal you. Can you see that? The way he healed them, you know, most time we call that scripture, the Lord has healed thee. Can you see the way he healed them? He didn't just heal them by virtue of maybe an anointing that come upon them and they are healed instantly. No. He gave a prescription of how it will be to them the healer. It's, that it's not one statement. All the things he listed up above the statements are the prescription of that healing. How they will be free from the use of the Egyptians is to follow his own prescription. They will start by hearkening diligently to the voice of the Lord, that their God. They will do what is righteous in his sight by that voice. Because that voice will bring to them instruction of righteousness. And they will do that righteousness. God will say, make a call to that person that you are not happy with. Just that simple call, that step of call. You are doing what is right in his sight. You are akin to the voice of the Lord concerning that matter. A call to that person that you are offended in will be the voice of the Lord to you. And when you do that instruction, you have done what is righteous in his sight. And you will give ear to his commandment. Well, he will still command you. That signal action is not an end. Hallelujah. Amen. That signal action that you obeyed is not an end in itself. It's just a trigger to begin something. And we give ear to his commandment. So after that first step, that has begun a process, right? He will now begin to give us commandments. Things that you will not want to do because of the offense in your heart. It will be many commandments. Can you see it's plural? To give ear to his commandments. Because actually, for God to heal us, God will take us through a journey. Healing is not one day. You are bitter, you have a bitterness in your heart against your parents or somebody or for any reason for whatsoever. It won't be healed instantaneously. No. It doesn't work that way. Even when you are physically sick, you get it immediately. Your body will have to adjust to healing. The same way to our soul, we have to adjust to healing. Hallelujah. And we give ear to his commandments. God will begin to command you in many ways. And we give ear to his commandments. Many commandments. Because it's a journey. You don't, every commandment is of two folds. We have faith and love. What is the commandment now? Commandment has faith and love. You can have faith in that commandment and not love that commandment. Christ, the Bible says, faith and love that is in Christ. Give me that scripture. Christ is the commandment, right? Do we know that? Christ, what? A commandment. And in that commandment, we have both faith and love. Even in meek, we have faith and love. As I Paul said, that when I see the faith towards Jesus that is in you and love towards brethren, it is faith that begins commandments. It is love that ends it. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is what? In Christ Jesus. So that's a commandment. Christ is a commandment that has both faith and love. So when he said that we should give ear to the commandments, according to that scripture, it will begin from faith. It means that you are doing what God says you should do, not because you love to do it. Hallelujah. Every commandment starts with what? Faith and what? And then end what? In love. You don't, that's something we obey now that we don't love to obey. But because God said it, we take step to obey it. That's faith. It's not as if you have agreed with it. You have not really settled the score with God, really. But because you have trusted God to a degree, you can start the obedience because of faith. But what taking us to is the point whereby we love that commandment. That time, you'd have understood God's way, which will be coming to you when you are acting in faith, in obedience first. Many times when you don't find a enough reason to forgive. How do you know you don't have enough reason to forgive? When even God said, go and do something to that sister, to that brother, maybe go and maybe apologize or maybe start greeting him or her or start testing her or him, it's not as if your heart has really forgiven the person. Hallelujah. Somewhere there you are not yet happy. You have enough reason not to be happy with that person because of what he may have done to you. Could be our parents, could be our siblings, could be anybody whatsoever. You don't yet, you are doing that action though in faith. You are obeying the commandments by faith, but you have not loved the commandments because you are still hurt within you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Although your action does not speak out your heart, he will know that you are still hurt, but you are acting in faith. You are fulfilling the faith of that commandment. You have not yet arrived at love. Love is when you come to a point whereby you understand enough that you even say, I have been foolish all the while. You will not see that, why was I even angry to start with? You will look back and see that you will judge yourself wrong. This time, God is not the one time I say you are wrong. You will know that, you will know by understanding of the heart that I was wrong to have not forgiven him all the while. In fact, I was wrong to be hard to start with. That's when you arrive at the love of that commandment, which will come through understanding. That won't come in one day. They will give us, that's why I said, commandments. They will keep commanding you. Actually, what God is trying to show us is to show us His way. Or He wants to show us the understanding, which we call healing. That's actually how we are healed. He wants to give us His health. His health is actually the understanding of how he reasons or how he sees things. Which, of course, we're blind to start with. Because we can't see as God sees, so we don't do as God does. We can't do the things He does, the way He forgives. Imagine God is managing the whole heads. People are abusing Him every day. People are doing things. He has not killed people for doing so. How does He see? Managing the whole heads. People that doesn't love Him, they are too many. Yet He keeps them. Yet he gives them food. Yet he even keeps them alive. How does He see? That means there is a way He sees things that we don't have that same understanding. So that's why we become grievous. At times some commandment become to us as something that is grievous to us. Because you can't imagine yourself doing what God says you do. Although by understanding of following God to a degree, you can act in obedience. Act in faith. But the very place God is taking you right to is the place of love. What did I say? He wants to take us to the place of love. That's when we would love His commandments. And until we get to that point, we don't yet receive life. Hallelujah. Give me Proverbs 4, verse 19. Praise the living Jesus. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So when I say wicked, now wickedness is not somebody who is somebody again. Hallelujah. A Christian can be wicked. They are describing our soul there. Tell me, the way of the wicked is as what? Darkness, meaning he can't see enough. They know not at what they stumble. They are walking and they are stumbling because they are walking in darkness. The very thing you are angry about, if only God opened your eyes, you should not be angry about it at all. Because why? We stumble because of what? The waste of goodness in us. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. It's not just one word. Words. They will lead us by words. Before you arrive at rest on that matter, they will lead us by words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Can you see? You keep building it. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. All this now, presence of healing. All this in the they are not just what you do at once. You move from one state to the other. There are times you are still attending to his words. Some of the words, not all. The time you also move to the time part of inclining your ear unto my sayings. God, by that word, God is saying something. It may take months at times for us to incline our ear to those sayings. Before it can make sense to you, you may spend months. Also matter. Verse 21. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. All this in the process of healing. Healing processes in our soul. Next verse 22. For they are what? Life unto those that can you see that? To get to life. You don't just get there easily. Though for they are life unto those that find them. Many you were seeking to find something, right? You can't find without seeking. So that means all the while he has been sending to us his word, you are seeking for something. Hallelujah. See the next verse said, for they are life unto those that find them. So it means you won't get a life until you find something, right? So that means you must have a heart that is seeking. It means all the while God is saying, do that. Of course, you know God is righteous, and anything God says is true. But somewhere in your heart, you have not come to rest. Hallelujah. You can't help but to be angry. That thing is not, you are not happy with that person. Although you are acting out what God says you do in faith. But somewhere in your heart, you are still hurt. Hallelujah. So in that situation, you just know that there is something I've not found. Why I'm seeing all things? Because something is still, there's something in God I've not touched yet. So there is a heart posture of seeking. When you are going through the faith process, when you have not really come to love, you are seeking after something. For example, when somebody is not, you are not having it work with somebody, the first thing tell yourself that something in me is dark. Although you are not happy, you are having reason not to do things you should do in the way you should do it, but the first thing that I am not, something in me is sick. That's when you are feeling sickness. Tell yourself that I'm sick. It doesn't mean that you'll be healed tomorrow, but it does not, I'm sick first. That makes the journey of healing easier for you. So that way, you know that there is an understanding I must touch God. Then I'll be free from this problem. Hallelujah. So he said, for their life unto those that what? Find them. You can't find until you have sought after something. When you seek, you find. And then it's an health to all their flesh. So you can't come to health without having life. Who had that on Wednesday? God can what? Health until you have found life. But that life must be sought after. The way of God is not what you can know in one day. That's why they will give us commandments upon commandments for us to arrive at the life. The life is the strength of God or the grace of God that makes him see the way he sees, which he wants to give you an eye. It's not easy to obey God based on the way God sees things and based on how we also see things from the flesh. So that's why we must labor in the early days of our life to seek after him. We must be looking for him. You can't look for him when you are too old. It will be so stressful for you those days. Hallelujah. There are things that you must not postpone till when you are 50 years old. You may be too old to bear the burden then. This journey of healing is a journey that we must attend to early enough, because you are here looking for something. Your heart is seeking for something. You want to know his ways. You want to know his healing grace. You want to understand the way he sees things. While we are in trouble, because we don't know the way God, we don't know God's way. We don't see the way he sees. Hallelujah. Amen. What did I say? We don't see the way what? He sees. What is making you angry? If somebody else can do it, the person will be at peace. But for you, you can't sleep overnight for 2 days. You can't sleep. And somebody is handling and he's not having problem. Why? You don't have, that person understand the way of God. Or he knows God's thoughts and he has journey to agree with it. You can know God's thoughts and not agree with it easily. It's not, you are not agree with it. You know his thoughts, but you are something in you is not agreeing. That thing in you is a sickness. So you are looking for life, actually, that will heal you of that sickness, right? So you will seek through many ways of God. You will obey many commandments until you find life. Somebody that they preach to, don't fornicate, for example. Don't lust after your sisters. Don't lust after your brothers. It's a simple commandment, right? But somebody, of course, if you have had enough, you know that this is what God wants. This is God's righteousness. And it's normal to behave that way, right? But that is not similar to you. It's not as if something you is agreeing yet. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that that's the righteous thing of to be done. But something you is not agreeing. It's fighting against that righteous instruction. And you know that truly God is right. That's where it should be. A healthy person should be able to mingle with his sister, his brothers, and be okay. That's hell. That's hell. That's healthy people. Somebody's healthy in the Lord. That's healthiness. That's oldness. That's the normal way to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is about something recently. I was just reasoning with that person and said, let's reason together. I said, do you think God is not righteous to make somebody a youth? I meant to say that when somebody is a youth who is not married, he's coveting everything in the marriage estates. And he feels that it's as if God has not done well to make him a youth. I said, do you feel that God ordained that a youth should be suffering? When you're a youth, you're not yet married. Is that God ordained that a youth should be suffering so far? He said, no. I said, so there is a healthy state of a youth that will not make you convert what you have not been allowed to do. And you are not feeling that God is wicked. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not converting what they are not giving to you. And you are okay. You are sleeping every day. You are waking up every day. And you are not angry with God. That, as if God is punishing a youth. When he said, no, no fornicate. It's as if it's a punishment. In the real way God made man, a youth should be okay being a youth. And not convert what is happening in American states until they permit him. And the state of a youth is held that way. God is not a punisher by making you a youth. The same way you see children playing and they are not playing the way they are playing. They are okay. They are at rest. The same two way to a youth should be okay. Even people who are married too should be okay with their spouse. Some people, even after they are married, it's as if it's a punishment to have one wife. That's how they think. They are married though. The way they see God, I say, God, why should you want a man to marry one wife? They can't reason it. How would I be eating one food every day? That's their thoughts. There should be variety for to be eating on the table. It's as if God is a wicked God. Why say, I made them male and female, and in the beginning, I made them one. One man, one woman. And that's the best of what God ordained. And let's just say it's not good. And that's healthy. That's the healthy state that God wants a man to be. So, those things, in short, when we look at it, it's as if, is it that God is not righteous to ordain that way? Then what is in us that not see that way is sickness. That's what causes sickness. So we can decide ourselves and actually I'm sick. When you start thinking away from God's ordination, God's ordinances as they are put in the scriptures, then we are sick. That's sickness. So even when God gives us his instruction, it doesn't mean that something in us agrees totally. But we must start by telling ourselves that this is what God ordained and it is righteous that way. So that way, we will seek early, hallelujah, to find life. It means that if we are caught in any web of any of these things I've mentioned, there must be an attempt in our soul to seek for life. For they are life unto those that find them. So they have sought life to find it. It means you can come to a place of rest on that matter of concern. If you seek enough, you will understand that, wow, no wonder, I see. Meaning that you come to a place of agreement with God. Now, actually, that is the normal way of life. That time is no longer, it's no longer something that is, to you, a grievous thing. You have come to find love in it. In fact, you can't live outside of it again. Hallelujah. The ideas of our life that you have seen this thing experientially. Take for example, ordinary Bible reading that they say we should be reading now, hallelujah, can be so grievous to us. For you, it's by faith, you are doing it by faith. You have not loved it. But you are still obeying it, right? A time comes that if you don't read the Bible in a day, you won't be able to sleep. That time is not that they are forcing you again. Your life can't exist without it. Yeah. If that's your comfort mode, you are not comforted if you don't read it. Yeah. You can get there. So you must be seeking after something. There must be something your heart must touch in the spirit that will bring you to that world. Whereby it's not grievous to you again to read the Bible every day. Ha. For you, you can't sleep without reading it. It's your default mode. That time, God is not just trying to do it again as if he said, come and help me. No. For you, you are not even helped. No, not doing so. Your real help is in it. Meaning you see yourself as okay doing so. That's moving from just faith to that commandment to love in it. But you must seek for the life that will make that your default mode. Those that seek shall what? Shall find. This is upon us. It is for us to seek for life. Because that life is the reason for our health, right? When you don't seek for life, you won't get health. And that life is in his commandments. So for me, every time I feel that I'm not doing what is right, maybe I have an issue and I can't solve it easily, or maybe I'm not happy with something and I can't find it easy to forgive or to be happy about it, I also tell myself that there's something I've not found yet. I know that something is missing somewhere. When we say we are sick, what is primary reason of sickness? It's when something in your body that should be there is not there. That's how you are sick. What did I say? Sickness is a sort of a lack of a nutrient in your body. When you fall sick, something should be in you. Normally, that humanness will give that thing. When I say you break down, or something attack your head, why that thing attack your head? Or what made you fall sick at the end? Because something that should be in you, that should humanness you against that attack, was not there. That's what makes us fall sick. So there is something that we should have found in God and or you have sought in God and finding Him as a life in our soul that immunizes us against sickness. Yeah. That's what makes us fall sick, even naturally speaking. Something is lacking in your body, maybe a nutrient somewhere, an hormone somewhere that is low, or maybe it's not actually it's not even there. Start with. That's when something attacks your head, your body, and you fall sick. Normally, your body should be immunized against that thing. So there is a life in God that we must find, right? We must seek for that life and find it. That life is what will make us to be healthy. They will first of all heal us until we are fully healthy. That time we have been immunized against sickness. So the Son of God is the house of God's life. What did I say? What is in the Son is realms of let me say earths. Give me Ephesians 1:3. We are not preaching a new gospel. It's what we have heard before that we are preaching again in a manner to speak to us, in a manner of talking about healing now and health. He said that we're saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at what? Blessed us. That blessing actually is health, not even healing. Of course, you have to be healed to come to health. But that blessing itself is health. Who had blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Christ here is the Son of God. When you say Christ here, it's not Christ as Christ doctrine. It's talking about Jesus as just Christ. Who is that person that became Son of God, right? So that Son of God has in him heavens. Can you see? He said in heavenly places. The heavenly places are realms of life that make us healthy. So this is our ordination in God. God has prepared it for us before the foundation of the world in his Son. That one is already clear to us, right? So when we are seeking his commandments, what we are highly targeting is to get life that is in his Son. Because every realm of life is actually a realm of healing that will take us through realm of healing or press of healing until we come to health. Because actually, all these blessings, they will first of all come to us as a healer. No, already we are sick, right? For Jesus, when he came as a person, he didn't have sickness. They only blessed him, right? They gave him AIDS. So he was immune against sickness, right? Or against, where sickness now? I mean, sin and what? Iniquity. But for you and I, we were already born into sin. So they will first of all heal us before we are healthy. The way you attend to somebody who doesn't have sin, it's not the same way you attend to somebody who already have sin, right? Though you want to give the two of them the same life. So this person must first go through healing process. Then he will come to health. But Jesus Christ was not a sick man in his soul. He didn't have any sin or iniquity. But they lay upon him the heavens. He received the heavens. Those heavens are the blessings of the that is in his Son. Okay, let me put it this way. You know what I said? The Son of God. I've said it many times. Son of God is not primarily Jesus Christ. What do I say? That the way to understand it very well is to not see it as Jesus Christ first. For, because before Jesus Christ came to the world, the Son has existed already. The Son of God actually is the womb of the Father. What was it? The Son of God is what? Is the womb of the Father or the soul of the Father. Because God doesn't have soul, right? He has what? A soul. And that soul is a soul that he has decided that is, let me say, the soul is what custodes what he has decided to give man. When he said, let us make man our image. That image is the thing in that soul. His soul is the house of his image. What did I say? His soul is what? Is the house of his image. That's what you call image. Image is not facial look. Image is substances of life. It's life. Image is life. Your image is your life. The life you are living now is a function of the image in you. So the Father's soul is what we call the Son of God. Or Son. Sonship is not... You know, most time when I was reading something yesterday online, somebody was saying the Bible, a Muslim of course, was saying that the Bible already clarified that Jesus is not God. So because John says Jesus is what? The Son of God. He didn't say he's the Almighty God. Can you hear what I'm saying? A Muslim was saying that the Bible didn't say Jesus is the Almighty God. He called him the Son of God. Because the word Son of God is not even understood by even many Christians themselves. Much more the Muslims. Son of God is the word sonship is not somebody you give battle in that sense of birth, right? It's what is actually somebody who's carrying your image. Son is a womb of image. So the Son of God is the womb of the Father. That's where what you want to give to man is kept. For Son of God is actually the heavens, is the house of the heavens of God. Hear me again. What I call it? Son of God what? Is the house of the heavens of God. Bible is not literature. It's not literature that I can read, like read other books. And you use English grammar to understand it. No. The words there are deeper than English. So you need the spirit to understand what that English word is saying. Beyond what it says in the normal understanding of English language. Those words are in themselves registers. Hallelujah. Amen. Those words are what? Registers. That you need to have the mind of the kingdom of God to know their meaning. Take for example, when I said Jesus Christ appeared in the flesh, what do you think it means? If you look at it from the literal meaning, it's as if you are saying Jesus Christ came physically, right? But what I mean is that Jesus Christ manifests through you. That's the meaning. So Son is the house of the heavens of God. No, we are going to go here and go there, right? We are talking about healing, right? Healing. And so we need to understand the scriptures that pertain to our healing. If you read Ephesians 1, 3 now, you won't see that it's a healing verse, right? That, but that's the very thing that, that God showed us, that showed that we are going to be healed, right? And we're going to be healed at different levels. All the heavenly places are realm of healings in our souls. So the Son of God is the house that is containing the heavens in God. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places, can you see that? Those heavens are the places. When Jesus said, I will go to my Father, right? So in my Father's house, there are what? Many mansions. So the Father has a house, right? And that house have many mansions. The mansions there is another word for these heavenly places. Is that clear to us now? It's a plural word, right? Mansions, right? There are many mansions, right? He called it in Ephesians 1:3, heavenly places. God's word is not something you understand superficially. You have to be grounded to understand how these creature things. Then the word of God, you will see them and you will touch the life therein anywhere. Because there are lives in those scriptures. But we can't touch the life when we don't understand it to start with. You will read Ephesians 1:3 now and know that that is the healing God promised you. Sometimes. Or since you have been taught. So he said, in my Father's house, there are what? Many mansions. The Father's house is not heaven as a physical place, but it's the house that contains many heavens. The heavens in the house are realms of righteousnesses. The heavens that is in the Father's house. God, Father has a house, right? That house is a womb. And now for the womb, what house is womb, right? And that house is what we call the Son of God. So the Son of God is the Father's house. The Father's house is what? It's what we call the Son of God. God, what is the house now? It's a prophetic language that shows that the Father's what give the Father expression? The Father has what? What give the Father what? Expression. Your house is a place of your expression. For example, a lion now. No, even let me say, a human being now. Our house is this body, right? It's one of our house. We have many houses, right? Our soul is a house. Our spirit is a house. Our body is a house. What give you physical expression is what? Your physical house, right? If you are running, it's this body that will run, right? So this is a house that interprets you, or it gives you expression. So when you hear the Father's house, think with me, is the place of your the Father's expression. And in that house, Bible says there are many what? Mansions there. It tells you that there are many realms of expressions. Is that clear to us now? And those heavens or mansions, they are realms of lives. Life. God is a house of life. There are layers of life in God. Christ is a life in God, right? Father is a life in God. The mission of Christ, mission of Father, mission of God, they are all life layers in God. Hallelujah. It's like you have first degree, we have second degree, we have third degree. There are realms of degrees. And every degree is a knowledge, you know, body of knowledge that you learned at different point in life. You learn first degree 5 years or 5 years. That's a knowledge, right? You go for master's and another level of degree. So in you alone now, you can have 3 degrees, exactly, as knowledge, not as paper. So in God, there are many lives in God. And every of the mansions in that house, they are realms of life that supplies earth to us. So when we say we seek to find the life, then to find the life is to find the earth that we need to be healed or to be whole. Hallelujah. Is that clear to us now? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a praise to God. Or you say, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a discovery. If you're not, if God open your eyes to see this thing, you will praise his name. So when you say blessed be, is you are saying that praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you praising him? You can see the blessings that is called spiritual blessings. Can you see? In the heavenly places or in the mansions that he has ordained for you and I. That's what happened here. Apostle Paul was when he said God showed him the mystery. Just then. This was what they showed Paul, Apostle Paul. God showed Apostle Paul by the Spirit that there is a levels of layers of blessings, spiritual blessings that account for our healing now for the soul of our soul. That God has already prepared not just now but from the foundation of the world. Where? In the Son. The Son, I told you, is the womb of the Father. If you follow the previous teaching that we have had here, you know, by now, you understand that it's not when Jesus came that blessing was manufactured. The blessing has already been manufactured in God. God's womb, which is like, which are called the Son of God, is the pharmaceutical company where they had concocted the medicine that we heal our soul before we were even born to start with. Even before they even made man. So God has already that. If man, of course, even if man didn't fall, man will have still need the blessing. Is that clear? But the blessing is such that even if man falls, it will heal him and bring him back to the blessing. So the blessing can heal you. For Jesus, the blessing didn't heal him. Because he was not sick. But the blessing was put in him to immunize him against sickness. The blessing didn't heal Jesus. He didn't have sin like you and I. But he needs the blessing to be immunized against sin and iniquity while he was on earth. For you, we already have sin and iniquity already. We're already sick. But that blessing too we have, it also has power to, first of all, heal you and bring you to health. Is that clear to us now? So for us, the work is like double-fold, right? For Jesus is the one, yeah, Jesus has to to inherit God. Hallelujah. For him, he used what? Touch and never what? To inherit God. I don't feel that anybody can do that. We need that age range. Because for him, he was not sick. They were only laying in him the life at every certain of growth. Until they fully laid the life on him in his soul, right? He carried all the heavens. And that's what make him the Son of God later. When you inherit the Son of God, you become what? The Son of God. What Jesus Christ inherited is what we call the Son of God. It was Jesus on the earth, right? But he need to inherit the Son of God. He must wear that thing called Son of God on himself. Not on his body, on his soul. Because Son of God is a house of life that is in the Father. Which is the blessing that we call the blessing in the heavenly places. So those places are realms of righteousness. All life in God. Can you see? Call it righteousness, call it life. Is that clear to all this money? So, there is a drug in God that can take care of every sickness. That drug was concocted in him from the foundation of the world. That's what we read in Hebrews 4:3 that day. That although the work were finished, but you and I need to still enter the work. To be healed. For we which have believed do enter into rest. The rest is healing, right? When you are healed, you enter rest. Meaning you have come to a state of health. We are not resting, right? Because sickness will not like to. Like someone said, disease is what? Disease, Abby. Meaning you are not at ease. So rest is ease, right? So for you to be at rest, they must have taken away your disease, right? So, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn him a lot, if they shall enter into my what? Rest, though the works, that work is the rest, were finished from the foundation of the world. So in God was a pharmaceutical company that produced the same drug that can make you and I to not only to be healed, but to be healthy. Meaning I will be immunized against sickness further. As I want a man has received the fullness of the Son, I would say he cannot sin. So that is born of God, cannot sin. Meaning he has been completely healed and he has come to health. For now, we are still being healed. Hallelujah. We are still being healed because we still have sickness in us. But a time is coming by the promise of the gospel. We will not only be healed, we will come to rest. Hallelujah. We will come to earth in the name of Jesus. That's why they say you cannot sin again. Because sin is what? Sickness and what? Iniquities. So a point whereby you can't be seen again. It means that you have been compacted together. You have been made whole. Made one. Hallelujah. W-H-O-L-E. O-N-E. We have been made one with God. Meaning you have become whole. Hallelujah. That wholeness is to say that they have decked you with everything missing in you. Because what is missing in us is the things that are contained in the heavens of God. They should download the heavens of God into our soul. Our soul is supposed to be a house that will contain the heavens of God. And that heaven is the house of many spiritual blessings. A house of many lives that are in God. What I've just said is that when you say the Son of God, the first thing that should come to mind is not Jesus Christ first. So if you say Jesus Christ, you are right, but you may lose out of an understanding too. Son of God is the womb of God. That's the first name. The womb of God now is not physical womb, but no womb. The way God appeared to us is true, is by his word. God is what? His word, right? God is what? Is what? His word. W-O-L-R-D, right? God is what? Is a word. Meaning you can understand him, right?
Yes, sir.
How God will come to you and I is by his word.
Yeah.
The way you receive God is what? You receive his word. And I cause to receive what? God. Basic. So the womb of God is the place of those word that he has promised to give you and I. Is that clear to us? His womb is what? Is the place of his word. Is the economy of his word that he wants to give you and I to become like him. Because God cannot sin, right? God is incorruptible, right? That means he can't become sick. God is earth himself. You can't break through his body. Like they can, something can bite you now. You fall sick. And because you don't have immunity, something can be in you. That when something bites you, it will fight it. You won't be sick from it. That means you are healthy. You are immunized against that thing. God is immunized against sin is holy. And there is something in him that makes him holy. It's not just by chance. There is something in God that makes him holy, that makes him incorruptible. That thing is what is in the Son of God. Because the Son of God, that is what he can, that's what that Son represents. The life of God that makes God holy, in short, which is called the image of God. That image is the life of God. So you can call it life, call it what? Image of God. That is what is in the Son of God. So Son is an economy in God. Let me put it that way. What is Son? An economy in God. That is what Jesus Christ came to the earth to receive. And when he came here, he didn't come though he was to be called Son of God, but he didn't come as Son of God directly. He came as what? Sinful flesh. He only obeyed the commandments and the words that is contained in that Son of God. and they transfer all that is in that Son of God to him. So he became the first Son of God. And he will be the firstborn among many brethren. Meaning that you and I will become what Son of God at the end too. So the things that is in that Son, they call it work of what they call it what work of Father, right? There are works in him, in the Father, that they transfer to him. When he said that, I have finished the work you gave to me. What is he was saying? Hallelujah. When he said, I have finished the work you gave to me. What do you say? What is he saying? He was saying that I have completely received the work in you. That work is what we call the Son of God. 1 John 3:8 said, either what? Committed sin or either this. To commit sin is to what? To be sick. A man that is committing sin is a man that is sick, right? If you're not sick, you can't commit sin again. Because somebody is born of God cannot sin again. So somebody that is sinning is not fully born of God, right? So he that committed sin is what? Of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. It's not as if the devil is the one that is your creator. No. But he's the one that has fathered you. What is in devil? Is in that person. That's meaning. This is a Christian. No? It's not for unbelievers. So. For the devil sinned from what? The beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or was revealed. Son of God here is not Jesus Christ per se. It's what Jesus Christ himself came to inherit. So, for them to deal with the sin, right, they have to manifest what the Son of God or make it known through preaching. Because the Son of God is an economy of understanding that immunizes you against death and sin. For this purpose, so the purpose of God revealing the Son of God is that he may destroy the works of the devil. I thought I said earlier that the Son of God too is another work of what? Right? It's called the work of Father. You know what I say? I have finished the work that you give to me. So the works there are works that is in the Son of God, right? So it is work against work. The strong work of the devil. The devil's work is the things in us that make us sickly. When we are committing sin and iniquity, they are the thing that is make us that has made us sick. So it is work against work. So they will have to reveal to us or make manifest the Son of God. It is going to be manifest through preaching. They won't say Jesus has to come down to everyone, come and see us. No. It is preaching that will. So that means the word of God that is in the Son of God is in God, is in the Father. And God has given to his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is in the right hand of God in heaven, carrying that thing with him, that word of God with him. So anytime they preach to us, they preach to us from that realm. Because the Son of God now is carrying, what I'm saying, Jesus Christ now is carrying what we call the Son of God in himself. He has inherited that Son of God. He's an inheritance in God. That Son of God is a life that Jesus Christ himself inherited. So they can call him what? The Son of God, because he's carrying in himself the Son of God, which actually are the works in the Father. Is that clear to us now? Jesus Christ inherited through obedience the works that are in the Father, which is called the Son of God. So the way they will give that Son of God is through preaching, because it's an understanding. Yes, sir. You know, I will not come to the earth and come and help us to watch our sin. What you will receive is words, yes, understanding that is called the Son of God or the works of the Father. Yes, so when Jesus said, "I have finished the work," he was telling you that he has received all the works in the Father. He has obeyed them as commandments. So that's why he became the Son of God in full. Because the reason for the sickness in the world, what the world is sick, It's because something has not yet manifested to us. So, for the earnest expectation of the creature, waited for what? The manifestation of what? The sons of God. Now, you would think that he's probably saying that some men will arise. That's true. But primarily, he said to us that the whole world, first of all, the church, is waiting for the revelation of the works of the Father that will come to us through preaching. So that word sons there is, it can make it plural, can make it singular, is both accurate, because there are works in that work. It's one work that contains many works. So even in the literal Greek word, is son of God, not sons. That verse. But if you even leave it as plural, you are still right. Because that work has many works. Is that clear to us now? But if you see it as sons of God, then it will literally mean to you that human beings, Christians, yes, you are right. But the human being that will manifest this reality, they must have carried in themselves the Son of God. That's the blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That is that's what will make them an healing agent to the generation. So, what if I will be an healer to my generation? If I will represent the great physician on the earth, I must have received the Son of God as a work in my soul. They are the blessings of God that are in the heavenly places. And I can't heal beyond the heavenly place I have received. Is that clear to us, huh? I can't heal beyond my level of life. Because every place in the Father, they are realm of life. And every life has an earth. So the life is in strata in the Father. And every strata of life has a way of healing can give to the soul of man. So, but our Lord Jesus Christ embodied all the works. He received all the drug, the medicine in himself. He became the full Son of God. It means that you and I, in our walk with God, we will keep coming to life, right? That is in the Father. And if by virtue of death in the body, the body falls, it is in the highest life you receive for death that they will use to measure your level of sonship. Yay. So Son of God is in not, it's on the same level. 4:3, let's see that scripture. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath what bestowed upon us. Can you see now? The Father, right? The Father's love and the Father's work. Yay. That love you see there is not just love by mouth. There is work that you have to receive by following him. You will seek after it because that is life. And when you have the life there, you have the light. Exactly. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. People that are talking here, they're not just other Christians. They have journeyed with the Father. The Son of God has been made manifest to them to a degree. So that manifestation of the Father, of the Son of God, is what reveals to them the love of the Father, which are highly the works of the Father. So we can call it Father's love, Father's work, or the works in the Son of God. What I call it? The Father's love or work, or the sons of God. Beyond what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us. So these people, they have received the spiritual blessings in heavenly places to a degree. That's what I'm saying. That we should become what? So when you receive the love of Father, you are called what? The sons of God. Can you see now? When you receive what? The Father's love, you become what? The sons of God. So that Son of God is actually a function of the love of the Father, which is the works in the Father that must be revealed to you through preaching. Therefore, the world knoweth us what? Not. You can't design us that way. Because it knew him not. Can you see? You don't know the Son. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the what? Sons of God. Meaning, presently we are the sons of God. Why? Because we have received a measure of the works in the Father. We have received the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that is in Christ Jesus. That's why we can say we are the sons of what? God, even now. So, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. He's saying that although we are the sons of God now, because we have received his love, all his works in us, Son of God has been made manifest to us as a creation. But this is not our best yet in him. There is still heavenly places yet to be revealed to us. There are still more of his love that we need to see access. There are still more of the Son of God that must be made manifest to us. So that's why we say it has not yet appeared what we shall be. For example, somebody who has first degree. That's not all you can be in that focus. Though that has given you a measure of knowledge, right? But that's not your best yet. You can still go for a higher study, right? Yeah. Climb higher into more knowledge in that course. Then when you have masters, wow, you are a graduate in that sense, second degree graduate, right? But that's not yet all you can still be. It has not yet appeared what you can be in that profession. You move right to what? PhD, right? Then become a professor. Then you can say, I've come to the peak of my career in knowledge. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, can you see now? So we have hope, right? Hallelujah. That when the what? He shall what? Appear. The endless what? Emission of what? Creation is what? Manifestation of what? Source of God. So they are saying it should appear to them, or it should be made manifest to them. Hallelujah. To appear to them is for that Son of God to be made manifest to them. But we know that when he shall appear, who shall appear? Not just in the sky. What we appear is what? What we appear is the Son of God. Which is actually a knowledge or understanding. Then when he shall appear to us, we shall be like him, because we are not yet fully like him. He is the fullness of the beauty of God's Son. Because he has received all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places from the base to the top. As an understanding in his soul. So he is the full Son of God. He carried the whole earth in God. We shall be like him. It's an hope, right? We are not already like him fully. We are like him in a measure, right? He said that it has not yet appear what we can look like. Because that's not our best yet. We have been healed, but that's not our full earth. We are still sick somewhere. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as what? For we shall see him as what he is. So what do we see? You will see the Son of God. How will he appear to you? As what? An understanding. 1 John 5:20. For the Son of God is come, right? For and we know, can you see that what? Who is come? As what? In what way did he come? Understanding. And are giving us what? An understanding. All this understanding are realms of healings. Why you are behaving sickly? It's because you lack understanding. That thing that is a sickness, we call it weakness. It's actually a sickness. It's understanding that you lack. I would say, if a man commits adultery, is that what? He's a fool, right? But he lacks what an understanding. So that you call weakness. It's actually, what you need to know is just an understanding. Your body will adjust. For so what? Committed adultery with what? A woman. Like what? Understanding. So what will the Son give you when it comes? Understanding. So it means that sickness is because somebody is lacking an understanding. And the understanding is in the Son. So when the Son appears to you, it gives what? An understanding. And we know that the Son of God is come. Or he is made manifest. It's not actual. It's made manifest. So I thought that earlier that some terminologies must be understood from the kingdom register standpoint. It is come now to, if you want to use English language to judge it, how will you tap it, man? It's not English. It hasn't become physically on Simon. No. How it comes through what?
through understanding, which is by preaching. So I say the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the position of the Son of God. It is not that it will come to us in the sky, it will come to us through preaching. And that song is an understanding. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:3. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." You hear me? But what? Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world now. You think that he's not talking about sorcerers? Sorcerers, no. False prophets are people who teach a wrong law with the Bible. It means that they show an image in the Bible, and it's not God's image. That's what makes a man a false prophet. So he said, test the spirits. The spirit is law. The spirit is what? Is law in contest. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Hear me. He said, this how to know if the teaching is communicating the spirit of God. Because every preaching must give you an image. Because if you see him, you'll be like him, right? Yes, sir. So preaching can show you an image and make you become an artist, not Christ. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. So we shall be like him when we see him, right? So how you preach, see him is through preachers, right? Yeah. Preachers are the one that shows him to you. Yeah. So if a preacher is a false prophet, he will show you another spirit or another image or another work that is not of God. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Can you see? Every spirit, hear me. Every spirit that what? Confesseth that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh is of God. Wait a bit. Look at it very well. He said, this is how to know if the spirit is of God. Abi. He wants to teach you how to know false prophet from right prophet, right? And it's true teaching. Don't tell them are teachers. Prophet here is not about you see vision for you. Prophet here are teachers of the word. That's how they can give you spirit of God or the other spirits. So every spirit, you hear me? Every spirit there is every law that comes from your mouth. When they are speaking, they are speaking to the spirits. So every, is that the word I speak to you are what? They are what? They are spirit and life. So it's preaching that communicates spirits. So meaning that they are preachers. So every spirit, meaning that when you see their word communicates to you a spirit, right? Or show you an image. So if the image of their preaching or the spirit they are preaching does not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh, or if the spirit that they communicate confess that Jesus Christ comes in flesh, so that spirit is of God, right? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. So I mean, if the spirit in that message tells you that Jesus Christ comes in flesh, say it's a gift of God. Now, what do you think he's saying here? When they confess that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh, does that mean that if a preacher says Jesus Christ came physically, it's of God? This is the way. A Babalawo will say that Jesus Christ came in now, Abi. Even quick Muslims believe that Jesus came in the flesh, in that sense. So does that make them not false? Using this to interpret our service, understand? I'm trying to show something. If you want to interpret it literally, it means that anybody that says Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ came. He said that person, anybody that says that, right, is of God. But that's not what he's saying. If that's the case, then everyone social using candle, using they are saying that Jesus came now. Hallelujah. I know what I'm saying. So it means that that's what he's saying. Because give me that verse 3. I'll come back here. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. It means that he's saying that literally speaking, literally, that the only way to know that somebody is not from God is somebody who said that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. Abi? But people that are sorcerers, they don't say that now. Hallelujah. They are saying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh in that sense. So does that mean that that's enough to separate them from falsehood? No. What he says is that if the spirit that the message is communicated to you, because when they preach, every preacher preach to send the spirit and life. That spirit is what will give life, right? Yes, when you preach, yes, you preach words, and the word contains words, spirits, and that spirit gives life. That life is the health. Can you see that? When you find the life, you will have health. The health is that people will behave after God's nature, right? That's the result of that preaching. I have to know that the preaching is from God. Go and see who he raised, Abi. I would say, wisdom is what? Just find out for what? Of our children. So if the wisdom is producing evil children, you know where it's coming from, right?
Yes.
So if the wisdom, that means the wisdom, right, Charlie?
Yes.
Is confessing means prophecies. It's not just a statement in your mouth. Jesus is Lord. No, that's what it means. That if the spirits that come from a message help people to profess a life that will make Jesus Christ manifest in their flesh. So come in the flesh is not that he appeared in the flesh. Is that Jesus Christ what? Is what is it? The word became flesh. Out of no a false prophet. Is that when they preach, the word of their mouth will complete the spirit. And the spirit will bring back a life. No, that's not okay. So if the confession of the life of people that hear the message or what they profess, the life they lead, if the life shows Jesus Christ in them physically or show the love of Christ in them, then the what they receive is true. So the preacher that preached to them is not a false prophet. So now let me use that analogy to explain something to you. Now, you know one of the things that strengthens the once and forever message is this understanding. The fact that this scripture is talking about false prophets, people are using sorcery. The fact that the scripture was referring to people that are called Gnostic Christians. No, not Christian. They call them Gnostics, right? In those days. And what's the belief of that? That they believe that Jesus Christ did not come physically. That's what they meant. They felt that those who believed. That this is fine to people who don't believe that Jesus Christ came physically on the earth. So they deny Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ didn't come to the earth. But in that day, in those days, the argument was not whether Jesus came physically. That was not the argument. They are all Christians now. So how will you be a Christian that you don't believe that Jesus came physically? That's not the argument. So Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh or come in the flesh. It's not a language that is saying that he came to the earth. Is that clear now to us now? Is that the life of that Christ is not shown in the flesh through me. Can you see two different viewpoints now? School of thoughts. Based on what? Lack of understanding. Because if you have to go by their interpretation, right? Then it will be easy for us for somebody who is a juju man to say that by a Bible standard, Jesus Christ is he came to death now. Does that mean that he is true? So that means the just stick to know falsehood and truth. He's weak. Because somebody else who is using voodoo power. We tell you that just came, and they believe I came to the earth, truly. They're not even trying to lie. They know it. A Buddhist know just came to the earth. Many religions of the earth believe I just came to the earth.
Yes,
so does that make that confession? Does that confession make them true? The man of God. But I say that Jesus Christ is manifest through you. So in those days, people were preaching to the Christians. People who left the apostles, who veered off. So because they have become thorns and thistles, right? They are connected to another frequency that's not of God. So their preaching, just then, is making people to veer off. They don't believe in the Father, actually. So Jesus Christ can come in the flesh. in our flesh, in your flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning that he can bring his healing to us. All those things that he custodied, those things that he called work of God, they are healing balms at different realms. That when you receive it through preaching, through commandments, you are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess what we should be learning the skill of interpreting scriptures. Because that if we don't have footing in knowledge, you can't come to truth. Truth will be, it'll be hard for us to come to truth. So people can be led along the way of truth, that, but it will be very hard. That's not how to massively raise people that way. When you want to raise people in mass, it brings them enough knowledge supply. Knowledge itself is strength on its own. Much more when you don't move to from knowledge to truth, then you have strength against sickness. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The Lord will make us to stand on this ground that he has brought us into and receive everything that is therein in the name of Jesus.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.